From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. If there's one item that's become the symbol of U.S. inflation, it's eggs. Having doubled in price since 2020, eggs are now so expensive that many are starting to wonder, could I cut out the middleman and raise my own egg-laying chickens? Today on the show, you'll hear from two KLCC staffers who've been raising chickens on their property for years, and they'll share the wisdom they've gleaned as backyard farmers. For those thinking about starting their own egg-laying flock, KLCC News Director Chris Lehman and Office Manager Sally Ledden will talk about the good, bad, and ugly of raising chickens at home. There's a lot to consider, but both agree that if you're willing to put in the work, the reward of backyard farm-fresh eggs is well worth it. Both the city of Eugene and Lane County allow for residents to raise chickens. And while only a small fraction of the population actually has backyard farms, more and more folks are looking to raise their own eggs to beat the sky-high prices. Today on the show, we'll bring you two of our own staffers who've been doing it for years and know all the ins and outs. Sally Ledden, who is KLCC's star office manager, and Chris Lehman, our star news director, and both backyard farmers. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in and chatting.
Oh, glad to be here, Michael.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Sally, I'm going to start with you. How did you get started raising chickens and harvesting their eggs?
Well, I got started because I bought some property that already had six chickens.
Nice.
They were older and not laying a lot of eggs. And so after a year, we got more chicks. We did that a couple more times.
So had you ever done it before?
No.
Wow. What was the learning curve like?
It was not bad.
Really? I mean, did the previous property owner, did they say, these are our chickens, this is how you do it? Or you just kind of, by trial and error, started doing this?
It was all trial and error. Luckily, my neighbors have chickens, so okay. They were a big help.
Okay. Chris, how about you? How'd you get into it?
Well, we had a neighbor who had some chickens that they didn't want anymore. Mm-hmm. And they were still on the young-ish side, and they just had a life change and didn't want to have that responsibility, and asked us if we would like them. And we said yes. That was about 7 years ago, and we've never not had chickens since then.
Okay.
And it's been great. Now, I would add, I grew up with always having lots of chickens around. I grew up way out in the country, and you know, they were just there. It was just sort of part of the fabric of the place. So we just took it from there.
Okay. For people who don't know, let's talk sort of chicken basics here. I mean, as I understand it, you, in most places, I think Eugene and Lane County, just really quickly looking at the regs, you're not supposed to have roosters, but can chickens still lay eggs even if they're not, you know, with a rooster? Sally, to you first.
Yes, of course they can.
Okay.
And there's no difference in the taste.
Okay.
If you do have a rooster or you don't.
Okay. And if you don't, I know, like, gosh, you know, I'm old enough to remember something called candling, where you'd have to look at eggs to see if they might be fertilized. But you don't have a rooster, so you don't even have to worry about that, right? You know they're non-fertilized eggs, so they're ready to eat, basically.
That was the case until about 6 months ago when I did get a rooster.
Oh, I see.
So
we won't tell anybody. Chris, you know, you like you said, you had grown up around this, and so you knew what to handle. But have there been surprises, you know, that you've seen with having to raise chickens? You know, things that maybe you're like, wow, I didn't expect that.
I don't know that there have been surprises.
Okay.
It's really been a positive experience for our family.
Okay.
We have kids, and they take the lead on, you know, what we call the daily chicken chores.
Okay.
And then my wife and I obviously go out and supervise and as needed, or do some little repairs to the coops or that kind of thing.
Sure,
but
sure.
The kids, you know, it's a great, you know, we don't live way out on a farm,
sure,
but it's a good farming, you know, connect with your food kind of experience for them. It is work. I'm not going to gloss over that. And sometimes it's a little yucky at times, but it's really a great experience.
Sally, maybe you could, for the audience, talk about sort of what the basic needs are. Let's just take a hypothetical. Maybe somebody, and people now are thinking about this because of egg prices, like, hey, maybe it makes sense for us to raise chickens and harvest our own eggs. Basically speaking, what are they going to need?
Well, you're going to need a coop. Okay. And in most cases, it would have to be pretty predator proof.
Okay.
You know, depending on where you are.
Okay.
I keep my horse, I keep my chickens in a horse stall, so they are very safe at night.
Okay.
You will need, you know, somewhere, like I said, for them to sleep and roost, and you'll need bedding for them and feed. There are different kinds and different qualities.
Sure, sure.
You'll need starter feed if you're having babies.
Okay.
Grower feed as they get a little older. And
okay.
And then layer feed for the laying hens.
Okay.
And
so not that different from, say, cats and dogs. You have puppy chow, and then you graduate to a more adult food. So it's
exactly.
It's kind of like that. You say you've got, like, a horse stall. But, I mean, in terms of, like, building a coop, would you know, could people build it out of regular materials like 2x4s and chicken wire? Does that usually suffice, you think?
I think it does. But you might need to have a little construction background
okay.
to be able to get it, you know,
yeah.
real
yeah.
secure. But
Chris, talk about your coop, how you built it.
Yeah, and we have two coops
okay.
That we are currently using.
Okay.
One of which we bought on Craigslist for $100.
Really? Okay.
And that was 5 years ago, and you know we're still using it.
Okay.
So that didn't cost us very much money. We have to make little repairs now and then.
Sure.
You know, due to weathering. The other coop we got from somebody for free. We had to, you know, borrow a truck to go pick it up.
Okay.
And that was a beast to haul to our house and get into our backyard. But, you know, it kind of comes and goes because when there's an upswing in interest in backyard chickens, the supplies cost
sure.
more or are harder to get. But I would guess a year from now, there will be a lot of people deciding they didn't want to have chickens. And so you'd be able to get things like we got for relatively low prices.
Yeah. So for, say, around 6 chickens, roughly speaking, how big of a coop are we talking about? Is it the size of a closet, the size of a bedroom? Kind of put it in context for people who maybe have never really seen a chicken coop.
Well, it you know, it varies based
sure.
on how much space you want to
sure.
give them. I mean, I would say a closet feels too small.
Okay.
A bedroom might be too big.
Okay.
But it also depends on whether you have an outdoor area that they can, you know, what we call a chicken run,
okay.
which would be a fenced area. That does open yourself up to, you know, predators from the air or whatever. But you don't need a lot of space, but you do want to be humane
okay.
towards your chickens
sure.
and give them that space to roam around.
Sure, sure. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're in-house today talking with two of our fine employees here at KLCC, our news director, Chris Lehman, and Solly Ledden, who is our KLCC office manager. We're talking about their experiences raising chickens on their property. Sally, again, as general as you want to be, how much feed do you go through a day, a week, a month? I mean, how much does it cost to feed chickens?
I would say probably around $40 to $60 a month to feed, depending on the quality of feed you're using.
Sure.
So I use a corn-free, soy-free, non-GMO.
So yours might be a tad more expensive.
Mine might be a little bit more.
you're pampering your chickens.
Yes. You also need to have a scratch for them. That's kind of like their treats.
Okay.
And oyster shells and grit and probably mealworms for another treat and
okay.
protein, extra protein.
See,
yeah.
you really take good care of your chicken salad. I mean, I can tell you I buy a 50-pound bag of food every 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That is for 14 chickens.
Okay.
And that cost me $17, a
wow.
price which I'd have to say has been very stable over the years.
Okay.
Now, we supplement that with kitchen scraps.
Okay.
So anything that's not, you know, like you wouldn't give them a banana peel or an orange rind or something like that.
Okay.
But if you have table scraps,
okay.
they love that, or carrot peelings or whatever. That really extends that at no cost to you. We don't give them the treats, as you say, but we do our shells, our eggshells, after we're done, we don't toss them. We actually bake them in the oven for like 15 minutes at a very low temperature to make them more crispy. And then we crush them up with just a, you know, a mortar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is kind of their grit,
yeah.
as it were.
And if memory serves, and I'm going back to when my grandfather raised chickens, so chickens need grit as part of their digestion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because they don't have a stomach. They have a gizzard, right? It's kind of different. And so they need those rocks to roll around to digest food. Is that roughly speaking?
Yeah. And like bird, I mean, they don't have teeth to grind up their food. And so the grit does help with that. But even if you have a space where they can kind of roam around in the dirt, I mean, they're just pecking right off the ground. So they're naturally bringing in some of that. So it's more a matter of supplementing that.
Okay. Sally, in where you are at, you know, do you let your chickens out? Do you have like what Chris described as a run? And I mean, is there an element of the chickens being a little bit of your pest remover as well? Do they eat insects and kind of maybe keep the bugs down? Is that part of the service that chickens can possibly provide?
Oh, yes. Mine used to do that. They were free range and we were just seeing too many of them disappear to the predators.
Ah.
So we had to go to a run. They have a 20 by 10 run.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I have 15.
Okay. And then I assume we already talked about food, but I imagine just leaving water out is kind of the standard of they need water like constantly.
Oh yeah, they need a lot of water, especially if they're laying eggs.
Yeah. Chris, you know, you talked about that you've got kids. Do they view them as just the backyard chickens, or do they view them as pets?
We've tried to move towards the, you know, their farm animals as opposed to pets, and that's easier as the kids get older. You know, when we first got that first set that I mentioned, you know, all of them had a name.
Oh boy.
And that shifted over the years. And some of that, you know, when you get a batch of, let's say Barred Rock, they're kind of a common layer breed. They all look alike, at least to by human eye, so it was harder to give them each individual names or personalities or that kind of thing. So out of our 14 right now, I think 3 have names, but I, not to be too, you know, frank, but we've eaten some chickens that have had names, right? So not everybody would be comfortable with that, but that is where they are very different from a household pet.
Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking, too, as part of this, because I imagine most of it's for egg laying and whatnot, but obviously, you know, we eat chickens. Is it kind of like for you all and whoever wants to answer, is it do they get to a certain age where they no longer can lay eggs and then they become food? Is that kind of how it works, or is it different? Sally, you're smirking. I want you to weigh in on this.
Well, I have actually taken in chickens that stop laying.
Oh, I see.
A little sanctuary. For birds.
An old chicken home. An old folks chicken home. Okay.
Right.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Well, once again, I'm here to provide a counterpoint to Sally. They do slow down after about 2 years. They really, now we don't track our individual chickens and how, I mean, it's hard when you have, you know, a lot in the same coop. But there are times when they do get sick and we, you know, do sort of a mercy thing, and then we don't eat them because they were sick. But there have been times when we just, for whatever reason, we have turned them into food. Now, that being said, a two-year-old hen is not going to taste like the rotisserie chicken you get at Costco, right? Mm. It's not. It's a bird that was not bred for meat. So we use them in soup.
Oh, okay.
And put them in the crock pot, and and they'll turn out okay. But it's not like that. Now, we have raised meat birds, and in 8 weeks, you're going to get a real plump animal that is going to taste great.
You know, have you lost chickens to different animals?
We've lost, I think, 3 chickens over 7 years.
Not too bad.
And we think those were raccoons just based on activity that we've seen. I also went out at night. I came face to face with a possum, but you know, it was going for the food. It wasn't going for the chickens. We've had skunks poke their head around, but we've lost very few. Partly our run is underneath a canopy of evergreen trees, so I don't think they're vulnerable from the air as much. It's a thing.
Sally, obviously you have chicken feed, and so that can attract not so much predators that might eat the chickens, but obviously no one wants rats and mice. How do you try and avoid that? And is that's obviously, I imagine, something people should be thinking about if they're thinking about getting into this.
Yes, the containers you keep the feed in is really important. So if you're keeping that smell from being everywhere and attracting the rats and the mice, that's good. We are in a stall, so it's got a cement floor.
Okay.
You know, I think that probably helps us.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Same thing? Do you have like airtight container type things?
Yeah, airtight metal buckets kind of to store food. We've had a few rodents come around, and I've trapped some, and we haven't seen any in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this, you know, and again, however general you want to make this, in terms of, you know, does it pencil out? If you want eggs, and certainly right now, I think the national average for a dozen eggs is like $6 or $7, and that's probably on the very low end. You know, does it make financial sense, or just even if it's not just financial sense, but just the peace of mind of raising your own chickens, does it work for you philosophically and economically?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it does. I mean, especially the fresh eggs. I mean, there's nothing like eggs from, you know, from your own chickens.
Yeah.
So.
What about Chris, you?
Yeah, I agree. It's worth, I mean, you know, is a vacation to Cancun worth it, right? I mean, you don't turn a profit on that,
sure.
But you might enjoy
sure.
it. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. I would say only get into it if you expect to be able to do it over several years, because then your upfront costs will, you know, sort of smooth out over time.
Mm-hmm.
You can pay thousands of dollars for a new chicken coop.
Sure.
Like I said, there'll probably be some good used coops available here in a year or so. So just watch out for those kinds of opportunities. But as Sally said, I mean, getting an egg from your backyard, it's kind of emotionally satisfying, but they're really good, too.
Yeah.
We notice a difference. And in fact, Michael, I know you don't normally accept gifts from your interviewees.
Uh-oh. Now it's on tape. I'm in trouble.
I did bring you a dozen eggs from our backyard chickens.
Wow.
So there you go. I hope you enjoy this.
And I know you all out there in Radioland can't see, but they're beautiful. They're not just your standard white eggs. There's some that almost look green, and they're brown. And, well, thank you. That will be much appreciated. Sally, did you bring me a bribe? I mean, gift? No, I'm kidding. Thank you.
Sorry.
But I am wondering, too, Sally, chickens are interesting animals. I know that they can be, you know, they obviously are social. They like to be together. But they also can be, as I understand it, kind of brutal. Talk about the fact that they tend to pick on each other. That phrase pecking order, it comes from reality, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. They, especially when you bring new ones in, that's the hardest part, is bringing new chicks or chickens in. They can be tough on each other, but you know, there's ways to go about it, you know, introducing them at night, and you know, if somebody's hurt, they can get picked on by everybody too, so you got to kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah Chris, one of the things I certainly don't know about is when the chicken lays an egg, how soon do you have to get that egg into the refrigerator before it might spoil? Roughly speaking, I mean, can eggs hang around for a few days before they spoil or something like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
I mean, we never put our eggs in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, if you, you know, when you buy eggs at the store, they have been washed.
And
now, I'm going to say here, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a health expert. Right.
Indeed.
But our understanding is that when you wash the eggs, it kind of speeds up their or shortens their shelf life, as it were, which is why they're refrigerated.
Okay.
But, you know, if you think about a chicken that, you know, if there's a rooster around, they're going to sit on it for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's being kept warm by the chicken, but
that's
3 weeks. The egg doesn't spoil in 3 weeks. In fact, the chick grows. Well, these don't have chicks inside, but it's still the same principle. They don't go bad right away at all.
Yeah. Sally, in addition to the eggs and how wonderful they taste, what's your favorite thing about raising chickens in on your own property?
Well, they do have little personalities, and I have a couple of favorite ones. Steely is my most favorite. Follows me around everywhere I go.
Steely?
Steely.
Okay. Steely Dan, maybe? I don't know.
I didn't name her. She came from another family.
So in some ways, you kind of do view them a bit as pets.
Yes,
okay.
I do. And they have names. Except for the most recent couple of batches I got, they don't have names. So I'm about half and half right now.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what about you? I imagine part of it is instructive for your kids, just to kind of see the cycle of life or something like that.
Yeah. That's, you know, we don't have the ability to raise a cow or whatever where we live, but... chicken is a good way to introduce them to the idea that your food comes from somewhere. It comes out of work. It comes out of things that you have to do to be responsible, like feed and water. And you know, we haven't talked about the fact that chickens kind of just go to the bathroom wherever they want to be. So they're not, you know, obviously they're not household pets, but there is some work involved with that. And I don't consider them as pets, but I do like, picking them up and kind of talking to them. And like, they're really nice, actually, usually, I mean, to humans.
About how much time do you think a person should expect to spend feeding and cleaning up after them, maybe per day or something like that? What's a very rough approximation, just so people have an idea of kind of the time you spend?
Sure. So you're going to want to be going in, out in the morning to check on them and give them their feed if it's not always out, and then letting them out of the coop. And so that's, like maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Sure.
And then again in the afternoon, kind of the same, or evening, the same thing, and putting them away. Now, somewhere in there, if you are cleaning up their
poop
daily,
<It's okay. laughs>
then, like I do, then, there's another 15 minutes of doing that.
So really not that much more than taking care of a dog or something like that. Is that kind of your assessment?
Yeah, that tracks pretty closely. Yeah. We don't clean up their poop daily, for instance, but then, every few, so often on a Saturday, I'll spend some time to really give it a deep cleaning. But I say, we go on vacations too, right? We don't kennel our chickens. But we have somebody who comes over once a day and takes care of all those at one shot, and they get to keep any eggs that they discover while they're there.
Well, I'm sure that many people are going to be listening to this thinking, hey, maybe that's for me. And I really appreciate both of you coming on. Sally Ledden, she's our office manager, and Chris Lehman, the KLCC news director. Really appreciate both of you coming in and talking chicken.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. One of the biggest questions in America today is this: what happens if the president simply disregards a court ruling against him? Monday on the show, we'll talk with an Oregon constitutional law expert and a national reporter who's written recently about this worst-case scenario. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.